the reading of God's word. This comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. This is the word of God. You may be seated. Okay, until the Jonah series, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be doing a parable series, a two-part series. And so Steve is the first up. Our boy Alex Marquez is going to be preaching next week, which will be fun. But Steve and I kind of go way back. He was in my city group when I was on staff over at City Light Midtown. And so we've continued to cultivate a friendship since then. And I love that Steve actually embodies what he's going to be preaching on, reaching the lost, having a heart for those who don't know Jesus. So I've seen him bring in some of the hardest skeptics into his home. And really has a lot of compassion for those, the hardest to reach kind of people. And so today he gets to preach from Luke 15. He's a sales manager at JetLinks for his full-time job. But he has a heart for church planting, wants to eventually get into church planting, wants to see God plant churches in the Old Market and all over Omaha. And so it's my privilege just to have him come up today to drop a word on us. So please open your hearts, open your minds to him. So let me pray for you, Steve. Is that okay? Awesome. God, thank you for Steve. Thank you that he is a man of compassion. God, he embodies with integrity this text. And so, God, would we listen to him? Would we open up the eyes of our hearts to be able to see and hear as if you were speaking to us this morning? And so, God, let us, as a result of this sermon, let us be more gracious, more compassionate, more desirous to go after every single person in Benson. Amen.
Merry Christmas! So is the fog from the eggnog worn off? Has it? No, it hasn't. what is that thing? Fruitcake? The log? Anybody do the fruitcake log? No, nobody did the fruitcake log. Yeah, nobody. Don't do it. Don't do whatever you do. No, but this is a great opportunity to be here this morning. It's looking at 2016, or the last few days here, 2015. And so, great opportunity. The thing that just still continues to blow me away is that God in heaven says, you know what, I'm going to get into the mud puddle of the earth and these people I've made. I'm going to come down and be born and be put in a trough, you know, a feeding trough. You know, it's just crazy that God got in the mud puddle for us. And so one of the parables that Jesus talks about and really wants to share with us and show us this love is what we're going to be covering today. So it's been a great opportunity over the last few weeks just to kind of prepare and let God shape me in this, and it's very convicting and humbling, so we're going to enjoy it together. As you saw in the reading, this passage, there's some animals involved in this, okay? There's some sheep involved in this passage, okay? Now, you know, there's this erroneous thought that sheep are dumb, you know? I mean, they are kind of dumb. The sheep are dumb, but So I started doing some research. I was thinking, you know, are sheep really that dumb? Is this just true, you know? And so then I came across something that I think will help all of us understand the plight of sheep and really see them in a different light. So can we show that video? That's my favorite one right there. Oh. 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 It's just, this is bad. So do we have a new appreciation? Huh? We have a new appreciation for sheep? We got fainting goats. Fainting goats. I never knew there was such a thing until, you know, I did some research. So fainting goats. We have a new appreciation for sheep. And so the sheep are dumb, but I think, you know, goats might top it there. That's pretty dumb. That was plan B, okay? This was plan B shown in this video. Plan A. You know, anybody love, come on, Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon? Come on, let's see hands. Jimmy Fallon? Wow, yeah. So Jimmy Fallon, there's so many things I love about Jimmy Fallon. But the one thing he has every once in a while, periodically, he has like this stuffed animal come out. Anybody ever seen this big stuffed? What is the animal? Panda. It's this giant panda dressed, guy dressed up in a panda. I don't know if it's a guy, could be a girl. Dressed up in this panda outfit and does this dance. It's a great dance. You got to watch it. Pull it up on YouTube. His name's Hashtag. Okay, so Hashtag. So I thought that my plan A was to have this week go purchase two huge sheep outfits and have my two sons, Adam and Cade, come in and just dress up in these things and just dance around. That was I should have stayed with plan A. That would have been really good. So we stuck with plan B, fainting goats. Okay, so here we're going to start. This is a question. I think it's a very important question before we get in this passage. What is valuable? What is valuable? You know, and one of the questions I think is, we all see value differently. We all are going to say, hey, this, in my opinion, is worth something, right? We're going to give worth to something, therefore it's valuable. It has value, right? And so I think one way is to really see what is valuable, because it's very subjective. Value is very subjective. If you think, no, it's everybody loves cat videos, maybe not, you know. So value has some subjectivity to it. And so I think that one way of really getting our minds around what's the value of an idea or a gift or an item, whatever, is looking at Christmas. You know, looking at Christmas, you guys all, 2 days ago, okay, we got some stuff that we wanted, probably. Maybe some stuff you didn't want, you know. But you probably got some stuff you had put on a list, you know, and you said, you know, this is what I want, my top three things, you know, I better get them. And so, you know, if we were to go around, just yell out, hey, this was valuable to me, and I got it. Here's what I got for Christmas. Let me hear some tools. Tools, really? Really? Wow. Does it have the Chicago Bears on the toolbox? No. Andy's does. Anyway. So, tools, you would never, anybody that knows me, it would never be on my list. I'm not a handyman. I don't know what a screwdriver is. So anyway, can't spell Phillips. I don't know how to spell that. So tools are not mine. Give me some other. So for him, though, Brock, he loves tools. Give me some other items you got. A tent. Nice. Valuable to you? Yeah. Sweet. Yes. Gorgeous bracelet. Nice. Nice. Daughter-in-law, bracelet. Well done. Well done. So some of you are probably saying bracelet, I don't know, and maybe not going to work for me, you know. But that just shows, I think Christmas shows, again, what is valuable. Everybody has their own opinion on it. So as we look at I was thinking back to my, you know, as a child, what did Christmas look like for me? You know, it's funny how on my list when I was a kid, a little boy, army men, the green army men, you know. I love the green army men. And eventually, when I was like, you know, 6 or 5, you know, eventually the green army men became what? Tools that were going to be destroyed by Pyro Steve, you know, at July 4th, you know, just destroying the green army men. Anyway, so green army men, that was a big thing on my list as a kid. Then it moved to baseball cards. Loved baseball cards. And so then as the years went, another thing made the top of my list. This is, like, over the last few years, this is in my top three. Gold toe. Is that what Christmas has come to? Huh? Gold toe. I mean, look at this. So, gold toe. Isn't it amazing how you've gone from army men to baseball cards to now I really want gold toe, you know? This is stupid how value changes. It reminds me, we had a guy when I was a young kid growing up in our neighborhood. Jack was his name, and And Jack was, I was like 7 years of age. And Jack was probably 20, 19 at the time. He was getting married. And so he'd always play baseball with my older brothers and I. And he really taught us a lot about baseball. Jack did. And so he's like 19 or 20. He's getting married. And so we hung out a lot. And so he goes, Steve, come on over to my house. I got something I'm going to give you. And so we, I go over and he goes, I've got two, and I knew this, I've got two collections, Steve. And I'm getting married, and you can have one of them. You can have one of my collections. I'm like, really? Sweet. And I'm sitting there in his house. And he goes, and the first one, he goes, is my stamp collection. I loved stamps. You know, I just loved. And he had this bucket, a barrel, in my eyes as a seven-year-old. It was a barrel, probably this big. Well, it couldn't have been because I couldn't reach it. But anyway, but it felt like it was just this huge barrel. And inside were these, like, stamps that were ripped off envelopes. And if you're under 30, what are envelopes? But, you know, you'd rip stamps. He had all these stamps in this barrel. And so when he said to me, we're sitting there, he goes, you can have my stamp collection? And I was like, oh, because volume as a kid, you just want quantity, right? You just want quantity. More stamps, you know? And so, and he goes, you can have my stamps? I'm like, okay, yeah, I like that. And he goes, or you can have my baseball card collection right here. And it's just this box, you know, about that big. And inside there's, you know, rubber bands wrapped around stacks of baseball cards. I'm like, okay. He goes, you can have these or my stamps. What do you want? And a huge decision had to be made here. This was, little did I know the impact, okay, of this decision. So I'm looking at it, and I think as a ADHD kid, I'm like, oh, I see this. I don't see the stamps in front of me. I'll take the baseball cards. Thanks, Jack. So I take off. I'm 7 years of age. And I just started over the next few years kind of collecting baseball cards and kind of getting the price guide and started learning. And I eventually realized I've got some Mickey Mantles. I've got some just really Nolan Ryan rookie cards that are outrageous in the 80s. Okay, so I'm like, jackpot. I've nailed this thing. This is awesome. And so and then over like the years, okay, so Jack, remember Jack said, you know, I'm getting married. My wife's probably not going to be too into me storing these baseball cards. So in Jack's eyes, the baseball cards, you know, the value is get rid of them, you know? And so so then a few years later, maybe I was probably in like maybe a senior in high school. I see Jack and I go up to and Jack. He's kind of on a mission. He has a question. I can tell he's, I haven't seen him for years, okay? And I can tell as I'm looking at him, he's wanting to say the niceties, hello, all this, but I can tell he has got a question for me. And I know what the question is. And he goes, Steve, do you still have those baseball cards? I go, yes. He goes, good job, good job. They're just worth a lot of great cards. And then a few more years I'd see him, and then all of a sudden the question got a little more irritated. He got a little more edgy with it. Do you still got those baseball cards? Yeah, I do, Jack. I got those cards. Thank you. You know, and he'd be like, why'd I give those things away? So it just shows how value is just totally subjective. He wanted to get rid of them. No value. All of a sudden, hey, maybe I want a new, you know, car when I put a little down payment, you know? So just interesting how value can change. And the beautiful thing that's very strange about our human condition is that if there is a God, think there is, but okay, if there is a God, he says, if he speaks and says, you know what, I personally see value in something. If God of the universe, the creator, sustainer of life here, says, I see value in blank, I think we should be listening. I think you want to know what that is. I want to know, if the God of the universe says, there are some things I value immensely, we got to pay attention. So as we look at this morning, we're going to hop in this passage. The title is Value as a Verb, okay? What does God value? This is great articulation here. Jesus is going to tell a story. Let's read the first two verses, okay? Luke 15, 1 and 2. Let it wash over you here. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners, period. No, wait. And eats with them. So, first thing here, who's Jesus hanging out with? So he's going to tell this parable, this story, but before that, we get to see who is Jesus hanging out with here. He's hanging out with what we'd call basically the scum of the earth, the scum of the earth. And he's not only just, you know, saying hello, how are you doing? No, he is receiving them, enjoying them, and eating, which we all know there's a difference between saying hello, how are you doing at work, you know, how was your weekend, how's the weather, and eating with someone. There's a big difference there when you eat with someone. And so Jesus is hanging with these people, tax collectors, sinners would be seen as prostitutes, just thieves, and just really what society would say, leave them alone, don't be near these people, don't hang with them, okay? So that's the first thing we need to see here. And then we got the sinners, the scum of the earth, well, just by society's ideas. And then we got these party poopers, okay? We got the Pharisees and scribes. We got these religious people that just look great. The garments look good, they're buttoned up, they do everything right according to their religion. They are obeying all the rules. Man, they just look good, okay? But they're kind of being a little party pooper here. They say that Pharisees and scribes see what's going on here with Jesus. And what do they say? They start grumbling, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So Jesus is going to share a story with them. But we got to look at the context. We're going to talk about shepherds. Okay, there's a shepherd and sheep. We know that, sheep involved. So we got the shepherds. In this agricultural society, agrarian, just everything's driven by agriculture. Shepherds are basically like, you know, like the blue collar. Very low, probably in the blue collar world. I loved how Gavin said Christmas Eve, the third shift. I think it's a great way of saying this. They're hard workers, but these guys, you know, they're not going to be, you know, rock stars when it comes to education. Having all this education behind them, they're not. So the unsavory. So these shepherds were still seen, you know, they're a little edgy. They're a little questionable. Some of these guys, blue collar. So that's the context. We've got shepherds. And there's probably even some shepherds even hanging right now when Jesus is going to tell a story, okay? There could be some shepherds in that little mix of scum of the earth, okay? So look how Jesus starts with the Pharisees. He's talking, he addresses it not to the scum of the earth. He's going to talk because you guys are grumbling. I hear you grumbling. Let me wake you up to reality here, okay? You religious people here. So he turns and look at the first four words in this as he starts the parable. What man of you? So I think it's kind of cool is that he's basically telling these scribes and Pharisees, hey, you know what? I know what you're thinking. I know what you're doing here. Pretend. Hey, Pharisees and scribes, pretend with me that you are one of these. Of shepherd, you know, the lower class, the unsavory, okay? He's still saying, hey, I want you guys to put your minds and put yourself in the place of these blue-collar, third-shift guys. And that's already, that's not going to go well. I mean, these guys are not going to like that, what he's doing here. So let's continue. Read verses 3 and 4. 3, so he told him this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it. So here's the first point, lost value. We have lost some value here, okay? And the sheep are the value. Obviously, the metaphor, the sheep are going to be about people, you and I, human beings. So maybe here's the question. If the sheep are the value and really people, and this parable is about the people that are lost, maybe you're saying right here, right now, I'm not lost. I'm not lost. I know where I'm at. I'm not lost. I know where I'm sitting in this, where I'm at in life. I know my place. I am not lost. I know where I'm at. And actually, I have a pretty good idea where things are going. I know where it's kind of going. I don't have a crystal ball, but I have a pretty good idea where it's going. Okay? Lost. We're lost. Listen to this verse. This is a great verse. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, centuries before, God's using this prophet to talk about, really, the human condition. Okay, in Isaiah 53:6, look at this. All we like sheep, we're back to the sheep thing again, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned, 18% of us, everyone. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. So if you're thinking here right now, no, I am not stinking lost. Out of the womb, because of his sin condition we're all born into, we're lost. And I think it's, again, when God speaks, you kind of want to take note. When he says, hey, everybody's like sheep. You guys have all gone astray. You've all turned your own way. You've all gone your own direction. You think it's, you know, right. It feels right. It feels good. I think I'm doing the right thing. He says, you're gone your own way. And I think of, you know, everyone in this room. Born out of the womb, lost. Lost. Separated from God. And I think of, you know, Jean was lost, you know, as a young girl, you know, comes to know Jesus, you know, my wife, Jean, myself, lost. We got to sit in this for a minute. We got to sit, because the natural tendency is to say, I'm good. I mean, things are rough, you know, but I'm good. And maybe some of you are here saying, no, I know, I actually do know I'm lost, okay? I just think it's good to see when God says, hey, here's reality. Let me show you reality. So we're lost. Lost, but yet, in this parable, the sheep is valuable. In that society, the sheep is valuable. It's like if you had a bunch of rental properties. You owned rental properties. You kind of want to take care of them, you know? It's a value. There's value. And so in this society, the sheep have value. They're human beings. And so here God says, hey, the sheep has value. You have value, but you're lost. End of sermon. Happy 2016. Just enjoy 2016, okay? And your lostness, okay? So, no, the story continues. Good news. Very good news. Read 4 and 5 here. Verses 4 and 5. So, again, repeating a little bit here. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not have the 99 in the open field, does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the one that's lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. So the shepherd is showing the value, right? The shepherd's going, he's showing how valuable this is. So the second point, Jesus values the lost. Jesus values the lost. In fact, he values it so much he goes after. He's pursuing. He's pursuing. Leaving the 99, pursuing the one. And I think this is interesting. What's the passage say there? If he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, right? That'd be a lie, okay? It doesn't say if he finds it. When, okay? When he's found it. God is... This is what he actually is living for, okay? Is rescuing and saving. Rescuing and saving the lost. He's on a mission. He's going after, pursuing. And in fact, in this, the language of this parable, it's like the shepherd is actually going to be out overnight looking for the sheep. And it's not like he went out looking for an hour and found the sheep. Now, this is going out, and as we know, sheep or most animals, you know, they're kind of defenseless. They can only, you know, survive so long. And so this one sheep is out by itself, defenseless, and the hope's not good for the sheep because it's lost. Does not have the shepherd, okay? So when he has found it, God saves. So here's some thoughts. So what saves? What rescues us, brings us back to the shepherd? What will bring us back? Think about your own life here. No feel-good pep talk is going, that's not what the shepherd did, I don't think. I mean, you know, feel-good, the sheep's not looking for that, okay? No feel-good pep talk, no Dr. Phil, not the next drug-enhanced state is going to find you, bring you life. No Prozac, Zoloft, pursuing sex, next porn session, your next Amazon purchase. That none of these things will save us. We're lost, okay? None of those things will save you. So how does he save? This is critical. So if we know we're lost, we know we're valuable. Then what saves us? Look at Isaiah 53:6. I left off the second half intentionally there. Look at it now. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. There's no hope. Oh, wait. And the Lord God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Wait, what's that? And the Lord God has laid on him, Jesus, prophesying what the future, this Messiah, this Christ would be born, that would eventually have this iniquity, sin. Sin placed on Jesus. So it's foretelling here. So sin is placed on Jesus. Your sin, my sin, is placed on. All the sin I've done in the past, and there's going to be sin tomorrow, the next day. All sin, I don't know how, it's obviously God here. There's a lot of people in this room, there's a lot of people in this world that have lived and will live, and all sin, right here it says, has been placed on Jesus. So that's nice. You know, that's great. Thanks for putting it on. What does that do? You know, what does that do? John 10:11. Listen to this, and we're back to the shepherd and the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. Jesus is talking here. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Again, the shepherd, there's different nuances with the parables there in this metaphor, this language, but we get obviously that Jesus is the shepherd, okay? And here's the answer. We're lost. Own it. I need to own it. And even now, even as I've trusted Christ as my Savior, there's lots of still lostness in my day. I still choose to go away and turn my back. Thanks, Jesus, you know, but I'll do my own thing now. I'm moving in lostness, okay? The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. It took the sacrifice, the death of the God-man, Jesus, to take care of all that sin, remove it, allow the opportunity now to be in a relationship with the God of the universe, Jesus, okay? Beautiful, beautiful news, great news. So Jesus is valuing the lost. He values them so much that he gave us a little pep talk. No, he died. He was raised from the dead to show victory over death and life in Jesus. Continue. So the parable continues. Read 6 and 7 here. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven. So it's weird. He kind of breaks away. Okay, parable over. Let me give a little more insight that you guys are not aware of as he's telling this story. It's the Pharisees and scribes, these religious, everybody thinks they're perfect, okay? Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who think they don't need no repentance. They're fine. They think they're fine. Just so I tell you, there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents So when the shepherd, and this back to the story, when he finds the sheep, when he gets back home, he texts one friend, right? No, he doesn't text one friend. What's he do? Comes home, he calls together his friends, plural, and neighbors, okay? So there's some partying here. What's going on here? This third point is value lauding. Lauding, I had to do an alliteration, use an L, okay? It means just praise highly, okay? The shepherd is going off on this. There's a celebration here over this one, the 99, the one sheep that was found. I love this word we were just singing earlier, rejoice, rejoice. This word literally means be glad for grace. Be glad for grace. So back to the story, the shepherd is glad for the grace. He's just out there looking. Grace, a free gift, allowed him basically to find the sheep. He knows he's not it. Okay? And this is the beautiful thing here, is that gladness, if you think about gladness, you know, obviously there's often a smile with gladness when you're glad, you're happy, there's a smile. But we all know that gladness goes deeper. There's a soul thing going on, a weighty thing of this is peace, this happiness. It's deeper than just a smile on the face when you're glad. So the shepherd, okay, Jesus here, is saying glad for grace, that the Trinity is showing God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit in what we're about. And that is, you guys know what grace is. It's like giving a gift. When you give, think about Christmas, when you give a gift, if somebody says, well, that's nice, Dad, let me give you $10, you know, for that nice gift. I know it's worth way more than that, but let me do something. That's such a nice gift. You know, it's no longer a gift, right? That's okay, I'll take your money. That's what? What kind of transaction is this? So grace is a free gift. You didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it, but I'm giving you this. Be glad for grace. That's what rejoicing is. So the shepherd's rejoicing, glad for the grace that was shown. And I love that Jesus then kind of breaks away again and says, let me tell you more. So not only is Jesus, the Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, just loving, praising highly, lauding over this one human being that is found, okay? But look at what it says here, the heavens. Heaven's celebrating. Angelic hosts, thousands of angels are celebrating whenever a soul is found. So my question, so a couple questions here to wrap it up. And just wherever you're at. First, we got to deal with the lostness deal. We got to own where we're at. God makes it very clear that we are lost coming out of the womb. You're just separated. We're separated from God. But he made us. We're valuable. We're made in his image, but yet there's a separation. Okay, so we need to own that we're lost. And now he says, I've made a way. In fact, great news. I've made a way for you. And you know what you got to do? You got to go twice a week and go play bingo with old people. He doesn't say that. You got to, if this was true, I would be going to hell in a handbasket right now very quickly. Going and doing twice a week visitations at the hospital. Oh, my goodness. That's just hard. I mean, I just, you know, yeah, just walking into the place is very difficult for me. So maybe there's things you're thinking, well, yeah, I've been a good person. I go to church here and there twice a year or whatever, and I do these things, and I'm not lost. Jesus says, you are lost, and I've made a way, and you don't need to do anything. Actually, you can't do anything to be brought back into relationship. I've done it. I died on the cross for you, Steve, and everyone in here. I've died on the cross for you, and all you got to do is take this gift and say, thank you. Thank you for dying for me. I know who I am. I know I've been doing my own thing. And I'm trusting you, Jesus. I'm trusting you in what you've done for me and removing that sin, forgiving it, and bringing me relationship. So maybe that's where you're at. Those who said, you know, I've received a gift. I've trusted Jesus. I know his Spirit has come into my life, sealed me, and, you know, it's great. I love it. I love following Jesus. My question for you is, are you valuing the lost? Jesus says, you know, I'm going to leave the 99. I'm going to go after the one. He's showing value here. And so here's a question for you. If you know, how does it look at work? Those around you, you know, they're lost. What's the interaction? What's your love for them? You know, and this is definitely, for me, a weak area. Because just every day you go and you see the same people at work. And you see them and you just, you know, you get paid to do a job. So you do your job. And you just kind of, you get in a rut. You know, and there's so often I do not see in the work environment people that are lost. They need Jesus. They need to find what I've found. And it's not, again, I didn't go to the nursing home twice a week. So, you know, so I received a free gift from God. He did the work for me. And so now, how does it look? How am I valuing the lost around me? I'm thinking about Benson. You know, a lot of us, you know, call this the church home. We are, you know, seeking to just hang out and do life together here and love people in the Benson area. So, you know, how's that looking in the neighborhoods, in the restaurants, just hanging with people? I don't know. Ask yourself the question, am I valuing what God values? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. Okay, what we'll do is the band can come up. I want to do that. what I want us to do is just close your eyes, bow your head. I'm just going to kind of walk us through some stuff and let you do business with your loving Savior that died for you, okay? So let me just lead. Just go ahead and, so you don't have distractions, you know, bow your head.